This is Stateside.
Everyone's plans for this week have been affected by Michigan's high rate of COVID infection. Cases continue to climb in Michigan, with particularly significant surges located in the Upper Peninsula. Today, we're talking with Mike Snyder, the health officer for the public health of Delta and Menominee counties in the UP. Mike Snyder, welcome to Stateside.
Thank you, April.
So I was looking at Delta County's numbers as of last week, and you're one of six counties in Michigan dealing with an average positivity rate of 20% or higher on COVID tests from the week past. Where are the cases in Delta and Menominee counties concentrated right now?
What we're seeing right now is a lot of the cases are stemming from gatherings, small gatherings of people, typically friends and family. What we're understanding is people don't wear masks when they're meeting with friends and families in these small gatherings. They feel that it would be rude to wear a mask, or, you know, these are people that they know well. So for some reason, they can't transmit the virus. And we know this is not true. You know, a lot of people do contact the virus from friends and family.
For sure. The outbreaks, are they ever tied to events or particular places such as congregate care homes or, you know, assisted living facilities?
Yes, we have seen multiple cases tied to congregate care living facilities, such as long-term care facilities. We've had two large outbreaks here in Delta County. Both outbreaks, I think, have numbered over 75 people from long-term care facilities.
For a lot of us down in the southeast part of the state, I think that our basic understanding of what's happening is so rooted in what we know of larger facilities, but a lot of the assisted livings and nursing homes in the UP are at a smaller scale, and these numbers just look devastating. I mean, when your entire population is 50 people or 60 people, and you have, I mean, almost a quarter of them falling victim to the virus, it sounds just devastating.
Yes, it is for the residents and also for the staff. You know, these facilities have limited staff. And when they get sick, you know, they're out for, 10 days, or if they're quarantined, they're out for 14 days, possibly more. And it's devastating for those facilities to have the staffing shortages and then, of course, seeing their residents become ill with the virus.
At the start of the pandemic, some of the public officials in Michigan were emphasizing that the elderly were most at risk. Over time, though, we've seen that folks over 60 are certainly at heightened risk, but that COVID certainly isn't restricted to folks who may be retirement age. We've heard that in Western Michigan, younger folks are now among the most recently infected. What's the situation look like where you are?
Yeah, we've been watching the average age, you know, and as you stated at the beginning of the pandemic back in March and April, the average age of those being infected was over 60. And over the summer, that number had dropped into the low 40s. Nobody is spared from the virus. You know, your outcome might not be as severe if you're younger and healthier. The elderly definitely are hit the most severe. So we're seeing something very similar as what they're seeing downstate.
Some health departments are facing a strain on their resources, that it's really slowed down their ability to let everyone who's tested COVID positive even know that they have the virus. Can you tell us a little bit about where things stand for you right now in terms of tracing and testing resources? Do you have enough staff?
No, we don't have enough staff. We're in a similar position as the health departments downstate that have issued advisories to their communities to let them know that you know, they may not receive a call from the health department if they test positive. Back on November 10th, so last Tuesday, we issued a similar press release letting the residents of Delta Menominee counties know that they may not receive a call, that we are going to prioritize our case investigations to those that are under 18 years of age or those living in a congregate living facility.
Michigan DHHS has issued an executive order restricting in-person instruction at colleges and high schools. Can you tell us a little bit about what you've seen regarding school-related outbreaks? Has that been an issue?
We have had some outbreaks related to schools. the number of folks, you know, either students or staff that it has impacted hasn't been that great. But it does, you know, when you're talking a small school and you lose 8 teachers because of an outbreak or, you know, one case and then quarantining the close contacts, schools just cannot provide instruction when that occurs.
I know that this is a week of concern for a lot of people because of the holidays, but also because hunting season has arrived. Can you walk us through what you're telling folks if they're considering going out in the open and hunting or even gathering with relatives outdoors?
Yeah, the going out and hunting portion of it is probably one of the safer activities that can be taken because you're outdoors. Most likely you're either by yourself or maybe just with one other individual. It's the congregating back at camp. You know, we have many deer camps throughout the Upper Peninsula, and it's a tradition that folks come together at that time with friends and family. And, you know, from not only the UP, but downstate or out of state. And so that is a concern. And we've been telling people to limit the number of people at camp this year and to, you know, not have as many visitors come by or don't go visiting other camps to try to keep your interactions with other individuals to a minimum. People should wear masks when they cannot maintain 6 feet of distance from each other. You know, a lot of these camps, it might be a tent or it might be a camper. It's very hard to social distance when you're in that type of environment.
We know that Governor Whitmer, who's a Democrat, and the legislative leaders in the Michigan House and Senate, who are Republicans, have not exactly seen eye to eye on curbing the spread of the virus. And we've heard from some health officials saying it's unfortunate that politics have played such a large role in how we address the pandemic. How do you think about what your team needs from Michigan's leaders right now?
Well, I think it would be great to have a unified message. That would be the best thing that could come from Lansing, where, you know, everybody is on the same page that we should be wearing masks when around others. You know, I agree. It's very unfortunate that this public health issue has become a political issue.
Yeah. You're not too far from the Wisconsin border, right?
That is correct. We do border Wisconsin in Menominee County.
Can you tell us a little bit about the differences between how the two states have been dealing with COVID?
Yeah. Wisconsin Supreme Court overturned the governor's emergency orders a lot earlier than the state of Michigan. And so restaurants were closed in Wisconsin, but they opened up much earlier, which actually we saw a increase in the number of COVID positive cases in Menominee County because people were going to Wisconsin because the economy was more open. People could go out to eat or go out to a bar. So we did see an increase there. The interesting thing with our situation is most of the industry or a lot of the industry and jobs are in Marinette on the Wisconsin side. So we've had to work closely with the Marinette County Health Department to track cases, to do the contact tracing, and just make sure that each other have been informed of different cases because they impact both communities.
Did you ever expect that the working relationship would be quite like this?
No, I didn't. Nobody could have foreseen the pandemic and everything that's occurred since March, that's for sure.
Yeah. You know, Mike, I think when a lot of folks think about the spread of COVID, again, especially if they do live in the Mitten, they may think about a small town, you know, small town life as a place where it's easier to avoid COVID. And I'm sure that's true in some ways. But, you know, when you think about towns that have only like one gas station or maybe, you know, maybe a couple of gas stations in the county, there aren't as many choices to fuel up your vehicle or go to buy your groceries or go to the doctor's office. Would you say that your understanding of infectious diseases is changing at all through the experience that your counties are having with COVID?
I don't think it's changing at all. I do think, you know, a rural community, as you described, does have different challenges. You know, we might not have the number of choices for stores or gas stations or physicians, which is fine because we're not seeing a lot of spread in those environments, the spread of the virus. One thing that rural communities do, they, you know, these are your friends, and, you know, communities are tight where they get together a lot more. It might be, you know, a Wednesday night golf league. It might be a church group, a poker game, whatever the case may be. You know, we interact with each other very closely as a community. And that's how we're seeing the spread of this virus.
Well, we hope you and your family are safe, and we wish you the best for the holiday season.
Thank you, April. I appreciate it very much.